Okay, good evening. We have been doing topics that I call money matters, and we're currently learning about interest, about ribbis. And one of the interesting things, oh, that's like a pun, right, about interest is, and this is kind of well known, that not only am I not allowed to lend you $4 in order to get $5 back, but there's a question as to whether if I lend you $4 and you give me $4 back, are you allowed to say thank you? Are you allowed to say tiskul amitzvos? Are you allowed to say, oh, you're so awesome. By the way, people love hearing that. No, you're awesome, you're amazing, you're great, we love you. People love hearing that. But it could be that that's going to be a prohibition of ribbis, that's a prohibition along the lines of interest, if you do that. So I want to discuss this issue tonight, and we'll also focus on many other, you'd think it's like so cold outside, I wouldn't have to take off my jacket, but it's actually really warm in here, but that's good. We'll also talk about a number of other things that are included in terms of what's called benefit. Right? The halacha basically is, if I lend you $4, I can only get $4 back, I can't get $4 plus benefit. Well, how do I define benefit is one of the questions. So let's start to learn. Gemara, Bava Metzia, Ayin Hei Amid Beis. Tanya, Rav Shem Ben Yochai Omer. Minayin Anosha B'chavei Amana, Ve'eino Ragil Lahakdim Lo Shalom, Sha'asur Lahakdim Lo Shalom. How do you know that if someone lends $100 to somebody, and the person does not usually give him shalom, and we'll define the terms precisely, lahakdim lo shalom. How do you know that's usur? Talmud lomar neshach ko davar asher yishach afilo dibur asur. The Gemara does like a play on words. Neshach ko davar, right? Davar means even dibur, even speaking can be forbidden as a type of ribbis. That's what the Gemara says. Neshach ko davar. Now, question. Is this biblically prohibited or rabbinically prohibited? Last week we spoke about some of the differences between biblical interest and rabbinic interest. So we noted last week that the only way it can be biblically prohibited is if it's called ribbis ketzutza, which means if I stipulate, I give you $4, I lend you $4 on the condition, Mr. Steinberg, that you'll give me back $5. Now, generally speaking, this thing about saying thank you is not a stipulation, no? I will lend you $4 if you are nice. And you say, no one has ever said that in the history of the planet, no? Like, maybe someone has, but there are some warped people out there. But the fact is, it doesn't seem like it is d'oraisa, because it certainly is not stipulated, it's not ribbis ketzutza. Even if you would stipulate, even if you would say, you know what, I am giving you $4 on the condition that you give me $4 and a thank you, the thank you probably is not halachically worth anything according to Torah law. This entire derivation of neshach ko davar is probably rabbinic. According to Torah law, it probably is not forbidden to lend you money and to give the guy a thank you. That is issue number one. Now, there are other issues that come up in ribbis, which are not monetary issues, but what we will discuss tonight is whether they are similar or dissimilar to our issue of saying thank you, and we'll also have to talk about what thank you means. Ready? So just, okay, pardon the expression, put it in your pipe, inhale, okay, and we will discuss it later on. Am I allowed to say this on tape? I'll say it on tape anyway. I went to a certain wedding of certain show members out in a certain state in the West.
Oh, yeah.
And at the party favors at the end of the wedding, they walked around giving everyone cannabis cigarettes. This was like very exciting. And of course, like my 9-year-old is like, Abba, what is that? I'm like, go away. This was an experience. What can we do? State of California. So officially in California, it is not legal. It is what they call decriminalized, which means that they won't punish you for doing it. Right? It's a lav she'ein bo malchus. We'll say it like that. Okay, so now, The Gemara in Bava Metzia speaks about, if I lend you, let's say I live in your house without permission. I'm a squatter, no? I dar b'chatzer chaveiro shalom idaito. I live in your house without permission. So the din is that if it's a house that you don't plan on renting to anybody, and I'm the type of guy who's never going to pay rent to anybody, so that is halachically called zenehne v'zelo chaser. I benefit and no one loses. And zenehne v'zelo chaser, we assume a halacha, you don't have to pay money. So if I'm a squatter, I go and I sit in your house for no apparent reason, I just stay there. By the way, there were squatters in the Heights, no? I remember when I first became the rabbi here, like in ancient history. So there used to be homes on 187th Street. And there, right? On, you know, on the hill on 187th, there was like a whole bunch of homes. Oh, and there were lots of squatters there.
Up that hill.
Up that hill, yeah. You didn't want to be there. Now it's just like the largest empty lot in the Heights, right? But nice property. But so if you're a squatter, so halachically you don't have to pay. Zenehene v'zelo chaser. If I benefit and you don't lose, you don't have to pay. You're not losing any money because you're not going to rent it out to anyone. However, the Gemara says in the context of ribis, it's forbidden. Meaning, if I lend you $1,000, let's say, right? And then I move into your empty lot and I stay there, so that is forbidden. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Yosef bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Af al pi she'amru hadar b'chatzer chaveiro shalom midaito, eino tzarech lahalos oschar. Even though if I move into your courtyard without your permission, I don't have to pay you rent, v'hovehu v'dar b'chatzero tzarech lahalos oschar. If I lend you money, then I have to pay. And the reason for that is, if I don't pay for living in your lot, so then you are getting additional benefit for the loan. Right? Not only are you getting $1,000 back, but you're also getting back the fact that you lived in that house. Right? So that's how you have to pay for it. Right? These are common cases in halacha. Zenehene mezelo chaser. And one of my friends actually liked to give a series of shiurim about sports. Because, you know, certain guys are into these things. So, if you attend a game, let's say, a Mets game, and the Mets Kayadua, as is well known, the Mets are not always so good. Right, Julian? Yeah. Now, let's say you buy seats, you know, in the Bob Uecker seats, up on the top. Are you allowed to move down and occupy an empty seat that no one is sitting in?
In the grandstand?
Right? So, right? So if I'm sitting...
Depends on what the manager...
So, it depends on what the stadium says. Sometimes the stadium will kick people out if you move down to, like, the field level seats. No?
They won't let you in.
Right? They won't let you in. But if you keep on going down, you go down, you go down. So that could be a case of zen nehene v'zolo chaser. That's a case that I get benefit from the better seat. And no one is losing because the guy never showed up to the game. Zenehene v'zelo chaser. So you don't have to pay in halacha, but in a ribis situation, in the case where there's an outstanding loan, you're not allowed to do that. Now, why is this forbidden? So the Bali HaTosfos over here have two opinions, and in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like both opinions. One opinion is that this is forbidden because it's a public thing. I'm living in your house. I'm squatting, right? Everyone's going to say, oh, Schwartz is living in, right? Schwartz is living in Danny's house. That's what everyone's going to say. And you know what? People are going to say, oh, he's only doing that because of that loan. And therefore, it looks like a ribis because people will perceive it as that. Even though there's no monetary value. That's one approach that Tosis has. Tosis' second approach is...
Why are you saying there's no monetary value?
What? There's no monetary value because I don't have to pay anything in that case. If I squat in your home and you would never rent it out to anybody, it's an extra property that you have, so I don't have to pay for it. But in the ribis situation, the Gemara says it's usur because it's public. That's what Tosfos says. Then Tosfos comments a different approach, and Tosfos says, you know what? Maybe the reason why it's forbidden in the case of squatting is because you're doing it without permission of the lender. You're doing it without the permission of the borrower, I should say. Right? You don't tell me. If you would tell me I could live in your house, that's one thing. But in that case, you didn't tell me. And that's why it is going to be forbidden. If you look in the Tosfos, it's like six lines up from the bottom. V'od yesh lomar, dafka la'dor sham shalom idas chaveres oser. Afi b'chatzir lo kaima la'agra. V'gad lo'av ha-megar. De'kemen shalom b'shus oser, nira da'al ha-mil v'somech. If I'm doing it without permission, people are going to say it's because of the loan. So basically, what we have over here is as follows. I'm living in your house. I'm getting benefit from you. But this is only forbidden according to the laws of Ribbis if it's public, because living in the house everybody knows about, and it's only forbidden if I do it without permission. You get the impression from this that not all forms of benefit are forbidden. Right? Again, I'm benefiting in this case, just you're not losing. But still, there's no Ribbis, if not for the fact that it's public. And this seems to lead in the direction that the poskim say that the iser of ribis devarim is only if it's with words. If it's not words, if it's an action, that is not called ribis devarim. Ribis devarim is neshach kol davar. If I say something, then it's forbidden. But if I do something, right? You know, they tell you that that actions speak louder than words. Well, over here, the halacha is the opposite. Words are more profound than actions. That's what emerges from this analysis. Now, this analysis is not accepted by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, just as the bottom source on this sheet, I'll just speak this out very quickly because then I want to do a few practical cases. There's a case in Shulchan Aruch. If I say, you know what, Frida, I'm lending you $1,000, and I want you to lend me $1,000 later. No? This is called, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. By the way, this happens. Sometimes there are people who have cash flow problems. Right? Which means, right, Julian, you want to explain this to people? Now, this is your line of work. Cash flow means, I got the money. But I don't have the liquid money right now. But you have the liquid money right now. So you'll lend me money, and I'll lend you money. Right? And I'm going to lend you $1,000, you'll lend me $1,000. So is that okay? If I lend you $1,000 on the condition that you lend me $1,200, that's real ribbis. Because I'm getting more than you got. No? But if I lend you $1,000, you'll lend me $1,000. So there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch whether it's forbidden. One opinion in Shulchan Aruch is it's forbidden because effectively what I'm doing is I'm getting $1,000 back as payment for the loan I gave, and I'm also getting a loan back. Again, you have to think about this like as a yeshiva guy. I lend you $1,000. I'm going to get $1,000 back, but I'm also getting a loan back. Yeah. So that would be interest.
It's a separate deal. It's two deals.
But I'm getting some. But it was linked. It was stipulated. It was linked. Now, the Vilna Gaon says that we say that it is forbidden to do this type of I'll lend you, you lend me deal. And the Vilna Gaon writes that the reason it's forbidden is because even ribis devarim is usur. Even speaking, even saying thank yous or whatever is forbidden, so certainly I lend you, you lend me is forbidden. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. From that gra, I see that my analysis is not completely correct, because the Gra is attributing ribis devarim even to the case of I lend you, you lend me, etc. And now, let's talk about a few cases. Let's just review what we have. There's a prohibition within the realm of interest of ribis devarim, of speaking, right? We also see that there's another prohibition of doing something that has no monetary value. If I do it in a public way, that is forbidden. Okay, so let's give a few cases. Are mitzvahs worth anything? Now, obviously, spiritually, right? You're thinking, Rabbi Schwartz, you hung out too long in California. Hey, are mitzvahs worth anything? What are you talking about? Of course mitzvahs, but monetarily, are mitzvahs worth anything? Not really. No? So let's say I am in shul, and let's say I borrow $1,000 from somebody, and I'm in shul. Am I allowed to give that person an aliyah? I'm a gabbai. Let's say at the 8 o'clock minyan, Julian, theoretically. Theoretically, let's say I'm
giving aliyah, you have to.
Thank you. But let's say there's a gabbai, theoretically. Is the gabbai allowed to give money? Is the gabbai allowed to give an aliyah to the person who he owes money to?
What if you're the only lady of Cohen?
Wait. Excellent. So the shach rate in Yerideya, kuf samach vav, sif katin aleph. I give it to you on the sheets. It's three sources up on the bottom. The shach says that is forbidden, even though an aliyah has no monetary value, but it is public. And a public action cannot be given. However, right? Okay, so that's, but let's be honest, okay? It's worth the same amount, right, as any other aliyah. People want to make a donation on Yom Kippur, they want to have extra zechuyos, so that's why they spend.
There's
an auction, I understand, because people want the opportunity to get an extra mitzvah on Yom Kippur to get an aliyah. But right, a regular Monday shlishi is not worth any money. You cannot on Amazon or on eBay purchase a shlishi. Guaranteed. Have you ever tried? You can't do it. Right? You can't purchase shlishi. Right? So, nonetheless, it's forbidden because of the publicity of it. However, right, if it is a mitzvah that is done in public, so then it's forbidden. But if everybody knows that I'm giving you the aliyah because that's my job. Let's say I'm a professional gabbai. I went, you at one point wanted to have gabbai school to train people to become professional gabbai. You should know it's not a joke. Maybe I shouldn't say this on tape. We're not doing great. Right, I'm sorry, Alex. There's some gabbai who are wonderful, but we gotta up the game a little bit. Right, we gotta train people how to be a good gabbai. Right, you know, you gotta put up someone to daven for the umar who's not tone deaf. Right, you gotta give people aliyahs who know what they're doing. Right,
yes,
it makes sense. So if someone is always the gabbai and he gives this person an aliyah because he like rotates the aliyahs all the time and everyone gets an aliyah a certain amount of time, so then it's clear that you're not giving it because of the law and then it's permitted. Alternatively, if everybody knows that we've been best friends for a million years and I would give you an aliyah even if there is no loan that was extended, whenever I see you, I give you an aliyah because we love you. So in that case, that's permitted, even though it's public.
That's
the poskim also say that if it is a mitzvah that can only be given to this person, so then it's also permitted. For example, let's say I owe $1,000 to Shimon, and Shimon loses his cell phone on the street, and I find the cell phone, and I want to return it to Shimon. There's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, no? I can't return Shimon's cell phone to Danny. Well, I could, but I wouldn't get the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The mitzvah is to give it back to Shimon. But is that going to be some sort of ribbis issue?
What do you mean?
Because I'm giving you... So the answer is... It's a different thing. Totally unconnected. But people might perceive it like ribbis. Right? So the answer is no, people are not going to perceive it. Because they know you lose something, you return it. So that's not perceived as ribbis, even if it's done in a public sort of way, that's not going to be a problem. Similarly, it seems that the case that Frida was asking about, if there's only one Kohen, can you give that guy the aliyah? So in that case, we know I'm not giving you the aliyah because of the loan. I know I'm giving you the aliyah because you happen to be a priest. So in that case, it's okay. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about... Let me just pull up my notes to see what I should talk about. Oh, so now... there are a few other issues that come up. There's public issues, mishloach manos. If I owe you $1,000, I'm not allowed to give you shalach manos.
What if you, you know,
I can't give you shalach manis because I'm giving you something extra. Now, if we were best friends beforehand, and everybody, every year, I give you shalach manis, then I'm allowed to give you the shalach manis. But if, right, people will perceive I'm giving it but just because of the loan, usher. You should know there's someone who I lent a nice amount of money to for whatever the reason. And I go to the guy, and like there was like a small item, whatever it was, I wanted to buy off him. And the guy, I'm like, how much does it cost? He's like, for you, $2. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Because if I buy the item that's really worth $3 for $2, I'm getting benefit because of the loan. The only reason he wants to do this is because I lent him money. That's awesome. I can't do that, right? I can't get additional benefit, even if the benefit is that I pay less money, that's also benefit, right? That's the basic halacha of ribbis, anything that is considered benefit. Now, I should note as follows. We spoke a minute ago about the Hashabbos Aveda case. There are certain cases that we learned about where there is no mitzvah to return an Aveda. But the halacha says you should still return it anyway. For example, you live on, I don't know, Bennett Ave, maybe Bennett Avenue. If you live on a street that the majority of the people are not non-Jews, so there's really no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, technically speaking, but you should try to return the item anyway. Or let's say it's Zakein Ve'inu Lefi Kvodo. Let's say you are a upstanding individual. Zakein could mean either a Torah scholar or an elderly person. It's not respectful for you to go around and return the items, so you're exempt. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should try to return it anyway, to be nice. What about in these cases? Am I supposed to return an item to the guy who I owe money to? Right? This is like the chumrah ends up going again. Hey.
How can you not return his item?
Well, again, according to the strict halacha, I'm allowed to keep it. According to the strict halacha, I'm allowed to keep the item. Right? So, that's a question in this book, the Toras Ribbis, by Moshe Hirschler. He raises that question. Now, there are other issues that are non-monetary issues, which are also forbidden in Ribbis. Here, Asur Lamed Esha Malve Obino Mikra Ogemara. Right, I'm not allowed to learn with the fellow who I can't learn with the fellow who lent me money, or learn with his son. Because as long as the loan is outstanding, no? If I owe you money, I can't learn with him because that's giving you an extra favor and that could be perceived as ribbis. But if it was... What?
Maybe he's doing favor.
So again, you have to look at the case. You have to look at the situation.
Why should you cut yourself off from learning with the guy because you lent him money?
Because I'm not allowed to. Because if I learn with him, that's going to be that I'm learning with him for free. If he wants to pay me for my services, that's one thing. But sometimes you have people who... Right? So I'm giving you more. Right? Not only am I going to pay you back $1,000, but also it's almost... I always imagine, you know, like when they speak about the poor person in town and they ask him, if you would have Rothschild's money, what would you do? So he says, if I'd have Rothschild's money, I'd be richer than Rothschild. Why? So he says, you think I'm going to give my business as a schnorrer? Right? I always imagine it's that type of thing. Right? Now, I'll get $1,000, and I'm also going to learn with him, and that is the Isser.
Ma? You learn together all the time. You're best
so
friends.
If we were best friends, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if it's Ragil, Bazemi, Kodem, if we always learn together, then it's permitted. But if I'm only going to start learning with you because of the loan, sir. Now, Se'if Yud Aleph is the real issue. Imlohaya, right, it's the top of page 2. Imlohaya Ragil lahakdim lo shalom, asur lahakdim lo. If I don't usually say shalom aleichem to him, so it is forbidden to do it. Now, a few points. It says over here in Shulchan Aruch, that's lahakdim lo shalom. Lahakdim means I can't be the first one to say, how are you? If you say, how are you, I'm allowed to respond. And this is based on the Gemara in Brachos, which I think I thought I put it down on the sheet somewhere. Maybe I didn't. The Gemara in Brachos writes, so here, the bottom of the Gemara. Va'amreb Chobo, two sources on the bottom. Amreb Chobo Rav, Huna Koshiyadeh B'chaveh Shiragil L'tien Shalom, Yachdim Lo Shalom, Shenemar Bakei Shalom V'rod Fehu. If you know that someone always says hi to you, you should say hi to him first. Say hi to her first. If someone says shalom to you and you don't respond, someone says hi. You know, as a kid, I grew up in like a mildly Haredi community. And I used to go and learn Shabbos afternoon in the yeshiva, like a couple blocks away. And they always had like these big packs of like high school girls who were like walking down the street all the time. And I like grew up as like a modern Orthodox kid, and I always just say good Shabbos, like, and first of all, they would be humiliated, and like, because like, you're not supposed to speak to boys if you're a girl, right? And guys are not supposed to speak to, right, girls. I like, A, I probably didn't know the rules, B, I couldn't care less. And like, so I was just like saying good Shabbos to everybody. And the halacha is, if someone says good Shabbos to you and you don't respond, you're a goslin, you're stealing, says the Gemara. You owe a response. And therefore, if it's a loan situation, I'm not allowed to be makdim shalom. I can't go to the lender and be the first one to give shalom. But if the lender says shalom to me, I have to respond, because if I don't respond, I am stealing. That's the halacha that appears based on the Gemara in Brachos. Now, are you allowed to say thank you for a loan? Are you allowed to say Yasher Koach? Are you allowed to say Tisku L'Mitzvos? So, the funny thing, like everything in Judaism, this is a machlokes. The issue that came up in the poskim was as follows. There used to be a practice, it's less common today than it used to be, but people couldn't afford to publish books on their own. And they used to get loans from other people to allow them to publish the book. So am I allowed to publish in my book, in my Sefer, something like the following people lent me money to enable the publication of the book? Or maybe that's an Isser of Ribbis. Because I, right? So you're entitled to some recognition, right? That's one way of looking at it. So here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that you are not allowed to say toda. If I pay back a loan, I can't say thank you. That's what Moshe writes. Nir lafin yistay tisha b'lashon toda, just like you can't say for the loan aver hoda'a, so you can't publish thank you in the Sefer. But if I want to give him a bracha, says Rav Moshe, that's okay. Yecholin l'chtob b'lashon hoda'a sheyisparich min hashamayim. You could write an announcement that he should get brachos, because it's absolutely true. He's at MS. She's birth, but it's mitzvah gedola, and then she'll rack hodah, and she'll join the alma. You're just telling the story. You say, you should be blessed, so I could print in the Sefer, says Ramosha, you should get all the brachos, wonderful, because that's true. You lent me money, you'll get brachos, no? It's some, do you guys remember, what was his name, Jimmy Swagger? Or, no.
No,
Tammy Faye.
Baker.
Jim Baker. They had this evil televangelist, right, thing. And they used to mamish give brachas like Chassidish Rebbe's Lahavdil. They would get up and like, you give us money, we will give you, the Lord will bless you, blah, 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 blah. You know, like sometimes Sephardi Jews, they know how to give brachas that go on for like, for as long as the Megillah.
Huh? They know how to curse, too.
Oh, unbelievable, right? So, you're allowed to give brachas, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, because you deserve a bracha. You lent me money, you get a bracha. But thank you, you can't say thank you. This is what Rav Moshe writes. Okay?
Could I share a short story?
Yeah, please.
He was a bracha in Mir Yeshiva, and one of the Islam, he told us he wanted to go home to Germany for the Yanta. So he didn't have cash, so he went over to the... There was a famous mashkiach
in the Mir... Yeah, Rabbi Yerucham was, okay.
And he borrowed money, and he went home, and he came after it, his money, and he came back, and he brought the money back, and he said, thank you so much. So I said, and Rivers to Loran, okay, so next, you know, so the same thing happened. He came with borrowed money, came back, and walked over to the table.
And he puts the money down.
Locked down the money, and walked away. And Rabbi Yerucham said, Where's the Hakara Satovi?
So Rabbi Schwab said,
I don't understand. Last time I said thank you, now I don't think so. They would, you understand. I want to see in your face that you're bursting with gratitude. It's only because of the Torah said you can't say this. That's my
message. That's a beautiful idea. Yes. In other words, Rabbi Yerucham assumed that you're not allowed to say thank you when you give the loan, when you give the money back, but you should feel it. So therefore, he wanted Rabbi Schwab to at least have that facial expression. That's a beautiful story. And so Rabbi Yerucham assumed, like Rabbi Moshe, that you're not allowed to say thank you. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes in this tshuva in Chelak Aleph Simen Chaf Zayin about Ribbis Devarim. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman writes that it says in the Gemara that Ribbis Devarim is forbidden. Therefore, if you don't say shalom, so you're not allowed to say it now. V'chein lo yomar hodienim ba'ishploim makom plain. You shouldn't ask, oh, tell me if so-and-so comes, that's forbidden. Ulefikach kasu achronim dehu adinam yishalo yomar halo v'lamal betoda. Don't say thank you. V'rabim nohagim yishum kach lomar b'makom zeh tizku l'mitzvus. Many people, instead of saying thank you, they say tizku l'mitzvus. You should get mitzvus. Ulefin yistayti lo yafa heimosim. Ki tizku l'mitzvus is a bracha. And that is a ribis devarim. The ilu amiras toda choshvani de ein bazeh shum iser. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman the exact opposite of Rav Moshe. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you're allowed to say thank you because thank you is just a gesture. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yes,
in this sefer, Toras ribis.
What?
Well, okay, well, he's a Baal Musar. Baal Musar are in a different level. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, most people when they say thank you, they just mumble it. It's not really a statement of anything. But when you give a bracha, you say you should get mitzvahs, whatever, and especially you give like a long, rambling, sporadic bracha over there, so then, that you shouldn't do. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Rav Shlomo Zalman proves this from a Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Ches, where Tosfos writes that to give a bracha is going to be ribis. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman in this tshuva, a bracha forbidden. Thank you is permitted because people don't mean it. Saul, you had a comment?
I was just wondering, is another way to say is that Hodah is just thanking the person, recognizing the...
You might be getting something very good.
So some quote Rebbe Yashiv
that Rebbe Yashiv said that saying thank you isn't for the loan, but it's for the exertion that was involved in giving the loan. You see, I'm not allowed to thank you for the money itself, but I could thank you for the fact that you had to go to the bank and take the money out to give it to me. There's a certain degree of tircha, especially now the bank is all the way on Wadsworth and 181st. It used to be so much closer to me. It was on St. Nick and 181st. Now it's further away. So there's exertion involved. So that's what Rebbe Yashiv said. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to quantify these things. Now, the interesting point over here is as follows. Rebbe Shlomo Zalman said, thank you is permitted because people don't mean it. But saying tizkul mitzvahs, that's permitted. But saying tizkul mitzvahs, tizkul mitzvahs is forbidden. Again, the question of Shlomo Zalman, thank you is okay, but giving a bracha, tizkul mitzvahs is forbidden. In the second edition of Rav Shlomo Zalman's Tshuvas, so Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that I wrote originally that saying thank you is permitted, but I changed my mind because I saw that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe of Chabad, was his Yortzeit this week. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that saying thank you is also Aser. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I changed my mind. And I ordered the people who published my article originally in the journal Moriah to take it out, and they didn't listen to me. And they left it in there. Now, here's the weird thing. This is in the red edition of Reb Shlomo Zalman's Tshuvas in Volume 2. There are two different versions of Reb Shlomo Zalman's Tshuvas. There's the red edition and the black edition. In the red edition, this tshuva is there. In the black edition, they took this tshuva out. I haven't got the foggiest idea why. On the Bar Ilan CD, the Bar Ilan CD quoted the Reb Shlomo Zalman only from the black edition, not from the red edition, so that you don't have that he backed out of this. Mm-hmm. But Reb Shlomo Zalman basically felt that saying thank you is forbidden. Now, it seems to me that maybe there is room to be lenient in saying thank you. Obviously, it's better not to. Like, why get about the Shiloh? But if you want to be lenient to say thank you, I think it could be permitted because, A, you might not mean it, like Rav Shlomo Zalman felt originally. B, there's the din of saying thank you is based on this line in the Gemara, L'hakdim lo shalom. We have a principle in Hilchos Avelos that you're not supposed to say shalom to someone who's a mourner, no? You don't say shalom to the mourner. The mourner shouldn't say shalom to anyone during Shiva, for a parent during Shloshim. Right? After the entire year, the child who's in mourning for the parent, the entire year, you should not say shalom to that person because he's not b'shalom, she's not b'shalom. But the Rambam writes that we don't have she'ela shalom anymore. In our world, when people say, how are you, it doesn't mean anything. So it seems to me that based on that line in Hilchos Avelos, maybe there are grounds to be makel by the Rippus issue also. The best thing to do, however, is to avoid the question altogether and either not say thank you, or the post can say like this, that the Isser of Rippus Devarim is only while the loan is still going on. If I returned the loan to you already, I'm allowed to say thank you then. But it shouldn't be that I say thank you toch kedei dibur of returning it. So I return it, and then I come back to you a few minutes and I say, by the way, thank you very much. That's perfectly permitted. And by the way, that's much more meaningful to someone. Right? It looks like it's just, you know, oh, thank you, thank you. It doesn't mean anything. But if I delay a little bit and then I come back and I say thank you, that's a much more meaningful gesture. And I think that would be permitted. The post can say there's no din of ribbis mukdemes and mu'ucheres. This halacha of early and late ribbis does not apply to ribbis devarim, and therefore it would be permitted. There's another exception that ribbis devarim, the poskim say, applies even to the borrower. Even though all other forms of ribbis derabbanan do not apply to the borrower, this does. I get an impression that ribbis devarim, like we began with, is not really ribbis. It's a new halacha. But the Vilna Gaon did not agree with me, so I have to back out. So basically what we are studying are laws of ribbis, and you're not allowed to give benefits. Now, last point. You used to daven the Rabbi Reisman show, or, right, you still daven there? It's Rabbi Reisman. He wrote a book. He wrote a book on ribbis. The Navi Shea Rabbi Reisman. Yeah, they broadcast it in Breuers even. So Rabbi Reisman, first of all, he's an amazing person. He's just a wonderful man. So Rabbi Reisman points the following thing out. You know, we have a kula in Ribbis that we'll be talking about a lot called Heter Iska. Heter Iska is that I lend you money, and it's not really a loan. We view it halachically like it's an investment, which means half of the money that I lend you, or half of the money I give you is a loan. Right? A loan is something that you, the recipient, are responsible for. The other half is an investment that I, the giver, am responsible for. That's the way a heter iska works. It's an investment that's chetzi milva, chetzi pikadon. What that means is, says Rabbi Reisman, that half of the heter iska is a loan. And therefore, even if I lend you money with a heter iska, I'm still not allowed to say thank you. Because there is still some loan that's out there, so all these laws of ribbis devarim. Now, most poskim, by the way, assume that the real prohibition of ribbis devarim is when you go out of your way and you like say something really. If we're like friendly and I always say thank you, thank you, thank you, that's fine, right? But if I go out of the way and I really build it up and I put on airs, so that's going to be the problem. And even with a heter iska will not solve the problem of ribbis devarim, because half of the heter iska remains alone. It's chetzi milva, chetzi pikadon, and since half of it's alone, so therefore you don't solve the problem completely. These are some of the points I wanted to mention, and we should not charge interest. Okay, thank you very much. I should point out, by the way, there are a lot of poskim who do permit saying thank you. Even though Rabbi Shlomo Zalman changed his mind, I saw in the Chubas of Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi, he's like Rabbi Simon's friend. So Rabbi Abadi is Mekon saying thank you. There's a Chuvin Yabia Omer, Chelak Dal, and Simon Tess, who discusses this. There are some grounds to be Mekon, like we mentioned, but my understanding is that the best approach to be Mekon is based on that halach and Hilchas Avelos. Okay, Chevra, have a good evening. Thank you for coming.